is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
We're on from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, it's John Cobell Show on Demand, the podcast version, same as the radio show. Well, we have exciting news. There was a big earthquake, but it was 3,000 miles away. And
I can't believe all these earthquakes that have been happening around the world. It's
I know. There was a huge one in Taiwan just a couple of days ago.
I know.
But this one shook up New Jersey, New York, all the way into Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Delaware. I read that you could feel the quake in Rhode Island and Massachusetts and as far south as Baltimore. And they shut down the airports at LaGuardia, New York, and Kennedy, Newark Airport. They also they closed the Holland Tunnel. And they ran around checking every building, every bridge and tunnel. We have an official correspondent in New Jersey. His name's John Frieria, and he's the cousin of my wife, Deborah. And we designated him as the special New Jersey correspondent some time ago. And he got shook up this morning. So I wanted to get him on to get a first-person description. Is John there?
I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great now that I've been shaken and stirred. I'm good, though.
Well, all right. Tell me, right from moment one, what happened?
Well, okay. I was sitting at my desk pounding out an email, and suddenly I thought I was having a stroke or something, honestly. I started to shake, but it wasn't me. I learned quickly it was the floor. Then it was my desk. And I looked up, and the window treatments were swaying back and forth. I had no idea it was happening. It took about 30 seconds or so, and then I yelled out to my secretary, "Was that just me? Did you feel that?" And I never experienced an earthquake. I'm not a Californian, so I have no idea. It was very exciting. Then my phone blew up. Everybody in the family, all of Deborah's cousins, my family. Did you feel that? My sister Maria, who you know well,
yeah.
her cats took off before the quake started. Then the quake started, and she was like, "Oh my God, it's an earthquake!" She got into the door frame.
She was trained.
My sister Joyce. Yeah, she's trained. She's heard. And then cousin Joyce, who was very close to the epicenter, her house was pretty shaken up, but no damage and no one hurt. It's just very, very unusual here.
No, it's fascinating because it was a 4.8 and it was in Lebanon, which is about 50 miles from New York City, about, I think, 30, 35 miles from where you are. You're in the Union Springfield mm-hmm. area, yeah. right? And 4.8s out here, people will murmur about it for a few seconds, but it's nothing. It's nothing. It's not a big deal here. And so everybody in California, after watching the reaction on the East Coast online or on cable TV, everybody was having a good laugh because it's fascinating when you haven't experienced one before that you get a relatively mild earthquake and it does seem like the world's ending.
Well, I think it's the total loss of control, really. I'm sitting at my desk minding my own business and suddenly the floor is moving. And the walls, and you could hear, I'm in an old building, you could kind of feel the roof moving. It's just was a very odd feeling, I'll tell you that.
Was it scary or just weird?
No, at first it was definitely scary because I had no idea. It seemed to get worse. You know, it was only 30 seconds.
Right.
But it seemed to get worse and worse as it went. Like it started like a gentle and I'm like, what is this? Am I having a stroke? And it got a little worse. Wait a minute. It's not a stroke. Okay. I'm all right. Wait a minute. The desk is moving. Oh, wait a minute. It was just, when was it going to end? It was very odd.
And there's been aftershocks.
I heard there were aftershocks, but we haven't felt any here.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I heard somebody calling in on Fox, and she was really upset with the aftershocks. She didn't even know what they were. She just she would hear like rolling thunder, and so it kept coming over and over again. She had no concept of not only quakes but aftershocks and how they feel, and all that. But you're fine now.
Well, yeah, everything is fine. You might be interested to know our governor is missing in action. No word from him. We heard from the governor of New York and the mayor of New York, but nothing from our governor.
Well, I read that the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, referred to it as an earthquake today west of Manhattan. She didn't even utter the words New Jersey. I guess you've been renamed west of Manhattan.
Well, okay. So you can address the Christmas card to West Manhattan then, if you will.
But you have this Phil Murphy, right? Was he out of the country?
No word yet where he is. He does have a villa in Italy, so I suspect that's where he is.
Well, he might be hiding. He might be hiding wherever cousin Maria's cats are hiding.
Could be.
All right. Could well, be. John, excellent report. Thank you very much.
Happy to help anytime.
The next disaster.
All right.
That happens, we'll call you.
Sure.
All right.
Thank you very much. Fair enough. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. It's John Frieri, who's an attorney in New Jersey with firsthand experience. And you could tell. You get emotionally a little shook up there. You'd be flat out on the floor.
I would, but here's the thing. And if I knew that we were only guaranteed to have a 4.8 here in Los Angeles, I might enjoy an earthquake or two, knowing that it's not going to cause any damage,
right.
No deaths, right? No destruction.
Right.
Right? I wouldn't worry. But the problem is we know that's not true. We know that the big one is looming.
We could get an 8.
Exactly. And we'll all be dead.
Well, if you're dead, you don't have to worry about anything.
Okay. But, before we die.
If you're trapped under rubble.
Right, right, exactly. We're watching the things and we're, you know, or we're still alive and loved ones are
yeah.
suffering. I mean, all of that just terrifies me. But it is funny that we're sort of, I'm not laughing.
No, you would never laugh at anybody
no,
who's
I would
afraid
not.
Of a quake.
I would not, absolutely.
All right,
but
so,
they always laugh at us, right, when we do our storm watch.
Yeah, well, we act really stupid and foolish.
Right.
You and I don't.
We don't.
But
it's
other
just
people
weather.
Do.
I mean, it's just rain.
You know, because growing up in New Jersey, there was 40 inches of rain every year, so it's not a big deal.
Well, I'm a California girl, born and raised here, so I don't really love a lot of rain, but you know what? I'll take the rain over earthquakes.
Yeah, you don't get hysterical. Like,
no.
Most people in the media do. They just they lose their minds. But I what was I going to say?
I don't know. I interrupted you.
That's all right. It's very amusing. I know what I was going to say. There was a woman who called into Fox this morning. They were doing live continuous coverage. And she said, she's somewhere in South Jersey. And she said, well, I'm alone in the house with my two-year-old, my toddler. And, I'm trying to potty train her. And so she's walking around naked. And, you let them walk around naked when they potty train. And then the earthquake hits. So I grab her and we run outside. But I had to run outside and I'm holding her naked. She kept reminding us that her two-year-old was naked. And she goes, and my husband was out, but she said that all these birds flew and hid under the bush. And my German Shepherd ran into the basement and hid. I haven't seen him since. He's not coming out.
Aww.
And it's like, well, what kind of German Shepherd did you get? They're supposed to stand on the front line, right?
They're supposed to protect you. They're not used to a big earthquake. They're not used to that.
This silly, sissy German Shepherd went in the basement and hid somewhere.
He was confused.
And then she was talking about the aftershocks. And that she was freaked out by the aftershocks. And I the whole time I'm thinking of you. I mean, this is you calling in if we had like a 6-8.
I don't think I would even be able to call in. I'd still be under the bed.
But there, it's interesting in her tone of voice and to John as well is that when you experience something you've never experienced before and you don't know what it is. And you very rarely in life have that sort of thing, right? There aren't any really new experiences to have.
Well, we haven't had a hurricane here.
No, but when something happens by surprise like that, yes. And it's the first time ever, and your brain cannot compute what could be causing this. I mean, his reaction was, well, I guess I'm having a stroke.
Right.
Because I'm shaking here. it looks like everything's vibrating in front of me. All right, we got more coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
You're on the air. I'm on the air. Are you on the air or are you talking to me in my headphones? I don't know. Or am I hearing voices in my head?
Okay, sorry. Were you talking to me?
I was talking to you off the air over the intercom.
Oh.
And then you were while I was talking, you were in my headphones, and I didn't know if you were on the air or not on the air.
I was not.
Okay, you were not on the air.
No, so repeat so, what you said.
No, that's right. Later.
Okay. Fine.
Now, yesterday at this time, Steve Gregory was telling us about the big heist in Sylmar. Up in the valley, because some group stole $30 million from a money storage business on Easter Sunday, no less. And this may be the largest heist in the history of Los Angeles. $30 million, and whatever they did not set off any alarms. And I have no idea, and nobody's really reported yet on what kind of security measures they have. And if you're not familiar with what a money storage business is, because I didn't know, and Steve explained this yesterday, you see those armored guard trucks driving around. Well, they pick up large amounts of cash, I guess, during the business day. And this is stuff that is taken to the storage facility before the cash is sent to the bank or the Federal Reserve or wherever it is people send large amounts of money. I guess this is the day's receipts. I don't know. This is like a whole different world. Anyway, money is stored there. It's supposedly guarded, and it's extremely secure, except this crew somehow breached the vault and stole $30 million. Now, I don't know. I guess they went door to door, the LA Times reporters, Daniel Miller, Richard Winton, and they came across a woman who lives in the Tahitian Mobile Home Park in Sylmar. And over the weekend, she heard a weird mechanical sound, kind of like a rhythmic whirring. I guess like sometimes, if somebody has a construction project in your neighborhood, you hear the whirring of a mechanical saw. And it seemed to be coming from an industrial building, and it may have gone on 2 hours or more. Now, if this were the thieves grinding through the vault or grinding through into the room where the money was held or, through the roof, and they were able to, 2 hours they're making this racket, and there's no security at the money storage facility, right? Because if she hears it in the mobile home park, which is a little bit down the road, how could the security at the money storage unit not hear it? And now that she found out that the warehouse behind the park was breached by thieves, she said, that sound is embedded in my head. My mind is still going crazy over what happened. I know it's just money, but they're invading your space. Well, for the storage unit and its customers, it's not about invading space. It's about the money. And this is on Roxford Street. The company is called Garter World, a security services company. And it's a single-story building. The thieves went through the roof, got access to the vault, and avoided the property's alarm system. And Garter World, and the parent company is based in Montreal, did not learn of the crime until they opened the vault on Monday, and I guess it was empty. Now, what's also interesting is the Wi-Fi nearby seemed to be down. George Alhazri owns the Quick Market and Deli on Roxford, same street, and he said the store's Wi-Fi was down for most of Sunday. We couldn't access the lotto. And cell phone calls failed in the area, too. And so police are thinking that these guys may have jammed Wi-Fi signals in the area, which is more and more common now. I was reading about this. It jams the security systems because that is connected to Wi-Fi. Everything's connected to the internet now, and everybody has Wi-Fi to connect to the internet in the building. And so if you have a jamming system, and I guess these jamming systems and the technical expertise of the thieves is greater than the security expertise that's being employed here. So there was a large cut on the side of the warehouse that was covered up by a piece of plywood after the fact. And the people who living in the neighborhood are just shocked that somebody could come in and take $30 million. I mean, they're all making comparisons to whatever heist movie they've seen. And other neighbors didn't hear anything at all. Now, it says rooftop burglaries are extremely rare in Los Angeles. So how do you have a whirring sound go? I guess they had no security at the building. That's the only thing I can assume. Is this Garter World?
That makes absolutely no sense, though.
Wouldn't spend $20 an hour to have some fat guy sit at a console and just stare at the monitors. I don't know. If you're keeping tens of millions of dollars, how do you not? I mean, every 7-Eleven now is a security guard out front.
Yeah.
There are security guards everywhere. Now, none of them look like they provide any actual security. They just look like these big dumb lugs who, I guess, if a homeless guy causes a scene, you know, they'll put you in a headlock and drag you away. There's not much more to it than that. So, and I realized we were talking, I think, at this time yesterday, why secretly I root for heists and I really enjoy movies, because certain crimes, I blame the victim. Like people who get scammed over the phone and they lose thousands of dollars because they give away their private information to some idiot calling from Asia on the phone, right? You get somebody calls in and, you know, to any reasonably intelligent person, it's like you're overseas somewhere in a boiler room. You're probably a hostage or a slave. And they have these things. They have these things, like, because I've read stories about it in Vietnam and Taiwan. And they're forced to call and try to entice you into giving up your private information. Well, if you're dumb enough to give your security numbers away, your social security number, your bank account number, your credit card number, then, yeah, you deserve to be heisted. You deserve to have stuff stolen. And kind of this, too. If Garter World doesn't want to spend $20 on one guy who would have heard the mechanical saw whirring for 2 hours as they cut through the roof and into the vault, you deserve to lose $30 million. More coming up.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on from 1 until 4. I forgot to mention, you know, we've got today two rounds of the Moist Line at 320 and 350 and Hack in a Dumpster. Double Hack in a Dumpster. So 3 o'clock hour is going to be busy. 2 o'clock, we're going to have Todd Benzman on. Todd has got a report. He's the journalist, is affiliated with the Center for Immigration Studies, and he writes for various publications. And he has a couple of things. He's got a story about how pedophiles and killers are paying smugglers $5,000 to sneak them across the border. And he got chased by some cartel guys, he and his colleague. So all that coming up after 2 o'clock, it's good stuff. And he wrote about it in the Daily Mail today. There's stories on Gavin Newsom today. And just let me grab this here. Gavin Newsom, you know, he's pushed and got a bill signed that raises the minimum wage to $20 an hour for fast food workers. And the first thing we found out was that Panera Bread got an exemption. And Panera Bread got this exemption that if you bake your own bread, and sell it, which they do in their restaurants, then you wouldn't have to pay your workers $20 an hour. We also found out that the owner of Panera Bread, or at least that collection of 24 franchisees, was a longtime friend of Newsom and a business partner, and had donated $164,000 to Newsom campaigns. And so he got the exemption. And then Newsom lied about it, claimed there was no exemption. Then he claimed, well, it was just part of the legislative sausage making. Anyway, it became pretty clear that that was likely in return for the $164,000 donation. And so Newsom got the legislature to hand out more carve-outs, more exemptions. Suddenly, fast food franchises that had contracts at hotels or in parks or on any kind of government property, that they were getting exemptions as well. Something to even out the playing field, to muddy up the story. So we can't say that Panera was the only one who got the exemption. And it turns out that Gavin Newsom, I think you probably know that he owns a number of wineries and restaurant businesses, and all those things were financed by the Gettys. The Gettys, the wealthy, you know, from Getty Oil. They financed those many years ago. When he was very young, to get him his start so he could campaign and be a politician. And his background story was, well, I'm a businessman and I understand the role of business. And he needed that because he was such a left-wing fool. It's kind of given more credibility. It's like, no, I know the struggles of a small-time business. You know, I've started these restaurants and I've started these wineries. Well, really, all he did is he took the Getty's money. And he ended up with one winery called the Plump Jack, which is just that name just bothers me. I don't know what Plump Jack is supposed to be. And it's just, I don't know, it's like a bad visual in my head.
Yeah, there's a guy named Jack and he's a little plump.
Huh? Yeah, I don't know. It's just got it's a little dirty or something. So he has Plump Jack wine. And it's funny, one time my wife was going to buy a basket of wine. Had to give a gift to somebody, and she's calling up this wine shop. And the woman on the phone, I could hear her on speaker, is going through the wines. You know, we're going to have this brand of Chardonnay and this brand of Pinot Noir, and we're going to have a Plump Jack, you know, Cabernet. And I start waving at my wife. It's like, no Plump Jack, no Plump Jack. She covers up the phone. She goes, why? I go, that's Gavin Newsom's winery. So she goes on the phone, hand, please, no Plump Jack. Get a. And I think she actually told the woman why.
Ooh.
It's Gavin Newsom's winery. The woman started cracking up. He pays the people at his restaurant $16 an hour. Do you believe that? He pays at his wealthy restaurants, and I'm going to get the menu up here, or at least the Wall Street Journal did a story on this. Going through his menu. Yes, here it is. Well, this actually came, yes, this is from the Washington Free Beacon. And then the Journal wrote an editorial on it. So while the rest of California has to do $20 an hour if you do fast food, at Newsom's Plump Jack Cafe, he has one in Lake Tahoe. It's Lake Tahoe's premier dining destination. And they have advertised for bussers, hosts, servers, and food runners for $16 an hour. This restaurant is steps from the Palisades Tahoe, which is California's top ski resort, has a full bar with wines, including a bottle of Burgundy that goes for $5,300. Entrees include pan-roasted Norwegian salmon, $49. A prime New York strip steak goes for $67. Another Newsom restaurant, the Balboa Cafe, which is in the Marina District in San Francisco, also has positions open. They're looking for an on-call cocktail server for $18 an hour. They have a full bar, including a $38 charcuterie board, a $27 wild mushroom risotto, $24 for mussels marinara, and a $38 filet mignon. But the workers, $18. The Tahoe place, $16. So why is it that some middle-class couple, let's say, they own a mom-and-pop McDonald's franchise, and, you know, a full meal is supposed to go, I mean, you should be able to get a fast food meal, like, for $10, right? But it's been jacked up now. It's now going for $18 and $20 after all the inflation of the past few years. How come somebody running a local McDonald's has to pay $20 an hour, but Gavin Newsom is only paying $18 or $16 an hour? And since the fast food minimum wage law went into effect, and this just happened Monday, there have been layoffs and price hikes throughout the state. Pizza chains have permanently fired hundreds of workers. This is according to state records. Burger King raised their prices. Newsom, when he signed the minimum wage law, said this was a big deal and an example that the future happens in California first. Well, what the future meant is now you could get you get a burger at McDonald's or Burger King plus French fries and a Coke, and you're out $20. That's the future. And then he said that the foundational principle advanced by this minimum wage law is inclusion. What does that mean? The foundational principle is inclusion? This creates inflation. Now, getting a hamburger, a cheeseburger, costs significantly more. And this is a greater burden on the poor and the middle class, not on the wealthy who aren't going to McDonald's anyway. And then he runs around babbling this, like, diversity, equity, and inclusion nonsense. Foundational principle is inclusion. The future happens in California first. And this guy runs restaurants and pays his employees significantly less. And doesn't care. You know, I doesn't care, I guess, if the whole world finds out. Plump Jack. It's more like plump jerk. Now, Newsom's campaign spokesman, a guy, and this is his real name, Nathan Click, he says, well, Newsom's business and financial holdings are held and managed by a blind trust, but the blind trust is run by a family friend. And Newsom's investment group that controls the restaurants is run by his sister and cousin. The investment group's philanthropic arm, known as the Plump Jack Foundation, raises money each year for Newsom's wife's nonprofit called the Representation Project. Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know that his employees only make $16 to $18 an hour. I love when these people hide behind, it's a blind trust. The Trumps did that too. Yeah, right. Donald Trump doesn't know what's going on in his empire. Newsom doesn't know what's going on. Such liars. They're all so full of it. The Plump Jack Group. It's just like the French Laundry. When he was closing restaurants all over the place and everybody else had to wear masks and there was all these severe restrictions on just eating dinner, what was he doing? He was at the French Laundry eating a meal with 11 other people, including lobbyists. The total of the meal was in the thousands and not a soul was wearing a mask. And it was an enclosed indoor room, which he lied about. But hey, keep voting for him. More coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Okay, well, here's what's happens in the real world when you force a $20 an hour wage to fast food workers. Let me see if you believe a guy like who has 21 McDonald's restaurants in the Sacramento area, and he has more than 1,000 employees. His name is Harris Liu, and he says that now this is really hitting family-owned businesses. You have to be a larger business to survive this kind of environment. If I was a one or two unit franchisee, I don't know if I'd be able to make it. Even as it stands, I'm not sure I'm going to make it long term. And here's what he says he has to do. You have to cut somewhere. Everything's on the table. You can't pay people $20 an hour. It simply doesn't work financially. The math doesn't work. He said instead of the landscaper coming by once a week, He'll come by once a month. So now you've given more money to a guy shaking a fry basket, but there's less money going to the landscaper. You see how that works? Because he can save him several hundred dollars a month. So, you know, the grass area around the restaurant maybe looks a little bit shabbier. When it comes to replacing equipment, we're going to have to use more duct tape and nurse the equipment along a little longer before we replace it. Okay, that's less money to the vendor who sells you the equipment. Not to mention you take a risk of the equipment failing, and then you can't make any food at all that day. Lou also said he had a program. He helps his staffers clean up their credit and make down payments on their first homes. Well, he's not going to be able to do that anymore. You see, that's what goes on in the real world. Because math is nothing but logic. Either the numbers add up or they don't. And if you jack up wages by 25% in a fast food operation, then money has to be cut elsewhere. So the landscaper doesn't get money. The company that you order equipment from doesn't get the order. And now the workers don't get their credit cleaned up, and they can't make a down payment on their homes because Harris Lou doesn't have the money to help them out anymore. Let's see, who's this here? Angelica Hernandez. She says, people see the Arches, McDonald's. They think it's this giant corporation, but we run it like a small family business. Again, the franchisees, not the corporation. That's the thing I wish people could see. It's not just us. The majority of these franchises are owned by families, generational families of moms and dads and grandparents. It's just a local family business. McDonald's is like the local coffee shop or the local cafe down the block. It's owned by local people who can't afford the $20 because they're middle class people. Most business owners, small business owners, are middle class. If over time, if they can build up a network of franchises, then they move up in the economic ladder. But that's supposed to be the American dream. This, somebody says in this article here, well, like they hire people who maybe they don't know English. Maybe they're shy or nervous. They've never been held accountable for anything in their life. And we teach them really basic job skills to become successful. We don't want to hire people who plan on being in one position for 20 years. That's not what this job was ever designed to do. So it's not supposed to be a job where you raise a family for 20 years, which is all the rhetoric you get from these union idiots who are just designing this to attract more people to their union so they can steal more money with union dues. That's their purpose in pushing this legislation. That's why the unions bribe politicians. They want more people in their union. They use the union dues to bribe the politicians, and they pay themselves six-figure salaries, just like any criminal nonprofit does. And that's what this is about. They don't care about the working man, because a lot of working people are now going to lose their jobs. So This is people walk around with so much ignorance or so much political propaganda in their head. A burger flipping job or a fry basket job is not worth $20. It's probably not even worth $16. However, going back to what one of these business owners said, it starts you in the company. And Harris Lou has employees who've worked their way up. Now they're higher up in management since he has a whole string of franchisees and they're making six figures. But you make six-figure pay when your job is worth six figures. You're not supposed to make a lot of money when the job has no special skill or education required to do it. If all you need is to be able to stand up and shake your hand to shake the fry basket and then shake the salt on it, you don't deserve that money. It's not worth it. Now, if you're managing a set of franchises, then it is worth to make a much better salary. So this has inverted the whole economic system at fast food restaurants. And if you think otherwise, then you're flat out ignorant and guarantee you never ran a business for a day. Guarantee you don't have the slightest idea how to do it. If you were given a business and you ran it like this for a month, guarantee you go out of business. You're defying the laws of mathematics. And you can never defy the laws of mathematics. And it just infuriates me. Because what are they doing this for? So Gavin Newsom can collect more money from unions. The Democratic legislators can collect more money from unions. You're going to see how many people get laid off. How many people are out of work. Just, you know, makes me nuts. All right. When we come back, I'm going to have Todd Bensman on. We've had him on a number of times. He's a journalist. He writes for many publications. He's also at the Center for Immigration Studies. He and one of his colleagues, boy, did they have a wild ride. They were actually getting pursued by the drug cartel. And he witnessed how pedophiles and killers pay smugglers $5,000 to get snuck across the border by the cartel. Yeah, this is Joe Biden's America here. Coming up.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.